Learning how to take charge of your personal finances is an important skill to have at any age. It's one of the reasons why McGill University has collaborated with RBC Future Launch and the Globe and Mail to offer something called McGill Personal Finance Essentials, a series of modules, a whole curriculum that'll teach you the basics of personal finance. Joining us now to tell us more about this program is Professor Isabel Bejeux-Besnenoux, Dean of McGill University's Deshotels Faculty of Management. She joins us from Montreal. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce.
What is the Personal Financial Essentials Program, and how can users learn from it?
Sure. So this is a program that is free, that is available online to all Canadians. The only thing people need to know is to go on the web, type McGillPersonalFinance.com, and register for the program.
I talk about and think about personal finance and financial literacy all the time. So it would make sense that I would be very interested in this. Why was it interesting to you?
Indeed. Well, first of all, Bruce, you should register for it.
I should. I wish I'd had time to complete it. Then I was thinking you could quiz me and see how I did.
A lot of time.
Yeah.
So these are 8 different modules of 15 to 25 minutes each. And we're teaching there with 8 different professors from McGill University the basics of personal finance.
And when you say the basics, what does that mean to you? So you teach the first module. It's the introduction to personal finance. What are some of the things that you cover there?
So the first module is really an introductory model. And this is about why it's important to learn about personal finance and introducing all the professors that are going to teach all of the different modules and what's going to be covered there. And what's going to be covered is some basics on debt and borrowing, money, today, tomorrow, strategy budgeting, the art of investing, some notions of real estate and investing in real estate, and then behavioral finance.
Mm. How do you test people on their engagement with the material? Are there multiple choice quizzes? Do you finish with a report card? If I do it, am I going to feel better about myself or worse about myself?
Well, I hope you'll feel better about yourself. So at the end of each module, there's a short quiz that is multiple choice questions. And when you completed all of the different modules, you get a certificate of completion from McGill University.
Interesting. And how big do you think this is going to be? I wanted to do this interview because it's unlike anything I've seen. There's tons of material out there. There's tons of books. But there isn't something like this done under the auspices of a university. How many people do you think you're going to get in the first year?
Well, I can tell you how many we got already. So we launched the program on November 1st. And as of today, we have more than 25,000 people who registered for the program.
It's amazing. Now, I mentioned the partnerships, RBC Future Launch and the Globe and Mail. The Globe and Mail is easy. They're a storied publication in this country. RBC is a massive bank. And one of the things I talk about, and I talk about it with bankers, I talk about it with the Canadian Banking Association, I talk about it a lot, is the inherent conflict of interest that exists between pure financial literacy and the interests of the banks. And the easiest examples are around credit card interest and the profit that banks make on that and investment fees. How do you address those inherent conflicts in the material?
So you're very right in saying that. And what's really important in the project is that in terms of the content, all of the content has been developed by McGill University. RBC was not part of it in any way. And we're very serious about the academic freedom and the fact that the professors are teaching what they think is most important. And this is all coming from the professors.
Mm. So how did you address within the curriculum credit cards in particular? Because one of the things that annoys me, makes me crazy, is how the CBA talks about credit cards as really an enabler to consumerism. And nowhere in their literature do they talk about the consequence of people's credit card use in the form of overspending or the cost to carry an outstanding balance. How do you address those in this program?
So I mentioned earlier that there is a module that is called behavioral finance, and I can give you an example of what is said there in terms of the credit cards, for example. The behavior of consumers is very often that they want to save for whatever reason, but then at the same time, they keep a large balance on their credit card. And obviously, they're paying very large interest on their credit card while saving earns very little interest.
Yeah.
So this is something that is a psychological effect, and we're trying to get people to understand that this is not the best financial decision.
Your course is open 4 times a year, which I thought was interesting. Why did you decide to do it that way instead of making it available so someone can take it at any time?
Well, we thought it would be create a sense of a cohort by opening that course several times a year. And it's just a sense of creating some kind of a community within the course.
Now, you have obviously an extraordinary pool of young people who can engage in the curriculum. How did you test it to ensure that it was resonant and helpful and on point? Did you put students from Deshotel through the program first?
Well, we didn't need to. You know, these are professors, so they're in contact with students and all of these young adult population all the time. So they know exactly what is needed and what the students need to learn.
How do you think about, as the dean of a business school, how do you think about this move towards online learning? There's MOOCs, the massive open courses that are around there, and it really is changing higher education in lots of different ways. This is one example of delivery in a bit of a different way. Broadly speaking, how do you think about online learning? What's its role? I don't think anyone's saying it will ever replace traditional in-class, but it's certainly shifting the dynamics a bit.
I agree. So this is not a course, first of all. This is a program that is put, well, this is a course that is put available, you know, highly accessible to the general population. So we're not trying to deliver a diploma in any way. And at the end, the participants do not get any degree or diploma from that. So your question is a little larger than that in terms of online learning. And I agree that some schools are going more in that direction, but at the end of the day, the students like to be in the classroom, and the students like to have this sense of community that they form in the classroom, and the experience that they're getting in universities are still very important to them. So it's about finding the right balance between online education and in-person education, and making sure that technology is helping students in their learning and not diverting them from that.
Very interesting stuff. Well, best of luck with it, Professor. Thank you so much for joining us to tell us about it.
Thank you so much, Bruce, for having me today.
We're talking about the McGill Personal Finance Essentials, which is a series of modules that will teach you the basics of personal finance. We were joined by Professor Isabelle Bejeux-Besnenu. She is Dean of McGill University's Deshotel Faculty of Management.